Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast. Voice note. Pimelo Mutine on WhatsApp.
063-688-0959.
Point of View.
Keep connected with us.
Kaya959.
On the street.
On the air.
All right. Thanks for staying with us. So, you know, everybody talks about a tax season at a particular time of the year. Actually, that's not what should be happening. You and I should be engaging with SARS consistently because our lives are interesting and things happen. We move, we do things, we change jobs sometimes, we change careers, we do all sorts of things that actually impact on our health with the tax man. And so we are going to be doing this series, and I think you remember that we started the series with the CEO of Netvest 2 weeks ago, in fact. And we are going to steadily walk you through the path so that at some point we can all say, you know, my relationship with the tax man is fabulous. That's what we want. We want all of us to have a healthy relationship with the tax man, for you not to run away from the tax man and to not hide, you know, to have a good relationship with the tax man. So I obviously wasn't here last week, as you know, and so we're going to try and do a bit of a recap. So I do obviously have in studio with me Busizwe Mdletshe, who is the CEO of Netvest, and we have come up with let's call it a series. And this series is going to help us navigate especially people like myself, right? Slowly walk me through the simple steps of understanding tax and tax law in this country so that you and I are, you know, not fooling around with the tax men. So, Busi, thank you for coming in and for assisting us and making it simple for us. Good evening.
Good evening, Pamelo, and thank you for having me.
So you've come up with this really, really cool series, and you're calling it the Shabalalas.
It's the taxing times with the Shabalalas.
The taxing times with the Shabalalas. Just to sort of simplify it for us. I want to just you know, touch base on what you discussed with Thando last week, and where the Shabalalas are at, so to speak, because the Shabalalas we've now discovered have a trust, right? These are people we need to know. Shabalalas have a trust, and so you just recap for us. What is it about their trust that was so interesting and so important in how they manage their trust, particularly with how they are managing how they get taxed, owning a trust?
Thank you, Pamela. So the Shabalalas have a family trust. So what we looked at last week, the donor, who's one of the sons in the family, had donated an asset into the family trust. Mm. And when the asset generated income, that income was distributed to the child, who's a minor. Mm. So now we discussed that according to the Section 7 of the Income Tax Act, when there's a donation or when there's a distribution to the minor, mm-hmm. and the donor was the parent, mm-hmm. then that income is deemed to be the parent's income, and the parent is the one that gets taxed. Mm. Now, what we learned was in this series or in last week's episode, the donor was trying to split the tax obligation, mm. you know, amongst the family members, mm-hmm. by using the trust to distribute income to his son instead of doing it himself. And unfortunately, as per Section 7(3) of the Income Tax Act, that was deemed to be his own income. You know, we also learned that, yes, he also tried to distribute some of the income to his sister who was living abroad, hoping that at least the sister would be taxed, and he would not be taxed as the donor. Mm-hmm. But the Tax Act says, if you are donating to someone who's not a resident in South Africa, that income will be deemed to be yours as the donor. So,
So we can see what you're doing. In other words, we can see that you're trying not to pay tax.
Exactly, because when you look at that Section 7, they are talking about, it's actually an anti-avoidance rule because it's aimed at preventing tax splitting between the family members, mm. using the trust. Mm. Yeah. And you can, I mean, imagine a situation whereby there were no distributions at all. Mm-hmm. So this person had donated an asset to the trust, mm-hmm. and the trust generated, or that asset generated income, and the income was retained in the trust. The trust was going to be taxed.
Properly,
and yes. The downside is the trust is taxed at 45%, mm. so you wouldn't want that. Mm. Yeah.
And that's why some people try and distribute,
distribute it further yes,
from the trust and giving it to family. Okay.
Correct.
So we now have a situation in today's episode where what's her name again? What's the lady that goes to?
It's Nomsa.
It's Nomsa.
Yes. So Nomsa has gotten this amazing Nomsa. Job. Nomsa Shabalala.
Nomsa is living her best life.
Yes.
Overseas.
In Australia.
Oh, is it Australia?
Correct. In Sydney.
In Sydney. So Nomsa is living her best life in Sydney until the taxman asks for, you know, where's my share?
Correct. Now, you can imagine, this is a person who's emigrated.
Mm-hmm.
She now lives in Sydney, and she's suddenly getting a letter from SARS, you know, and SARS wants their share. Now, the challenge here is, Pamela, when you emigrate, you need to inform SARS that you are now ceasing to be a resident,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise SARS will still deem you as a South African resident, and they will demand that you submit tax returns and declare your income.
But wait, I'm Nomsa. I am living my best life, and I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket. I'm sorry. Just because I've got this wonderful job in Australia doesn't mean I'm not coming back. And so as a result, I still want to keep my bank account. I still want to keep my home. I'm not selling that. I'm just going to earn money, dollars somewhere else. And I will float between these two nations. But I'm primarily employed in Australia.
So you see the difference there. You haven't emigrated. You are still in South Africa. You're earning income in South Africa from your assets, like your property and all other things. And you also earn income from the foreign employer in Australia. So there you haven't lost your resident status. So you're still a South African resident. And SARS, what they say is, I mean, they actually operate on a system called residence-based system. Meaning, if you are a South African resident, you get to be taxed on worldwide income, irrespective of where you've earned your income. And if you're not a resident, so let's say you have emigrated fully to this country, then you'll be taxed on a, it's called source basis, meaning whatever income that you would earn in South Africa, even if you live in Australia, you will still be taxed in South Africa because you're using our source, you know, to generate that income. Yeah.
The principle, though, is that unless you state otherwise, it is deemed and assumed that when you left, you cleaned up and left.
Yeah, so now when you leave, there's something called exit tax. It's yes. actually capital gains tax.
Yes.
So the day you leave and you are emigrating fully,
mm-hmm.
you need to declare or to disclose that to SARS so that then they would consider you to have sold or to have disposed all your
assets. That's the assumption,
yes.
that when I pack and go, you are packing and going.
So that's why the decision on whether you are now ceasing to be a resident, it's something that is done by SARS. You know, it's because they look at the status. Why are you leaving? For how long are you going to be leaving? But if you decide that I'm leaving today and I might come back next year, there's something called physical presence test. And that test is very objective because they look at the number of days you are away from South Africa. So they will say, first year, if you are away for 91 consecutive days and that period is over 5 years, you know, it's an entire list of the number of days that they look at. And then if you meet those requirements, then they say, okay, you were not a resident. But if you were away for 91 days but not consecutive days, then you will still be a South African resident and you'll be taxed on worldwide income. So it's therefore important that when you make that decision, let's say you are still not 100% certain that you're living indefinitely, just inform SARS so that they could guide you through this test of physical presence to decide on whether or to conclude on whether you are still a tax resident, a South African resident, or you are a non-resident.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I with my fabulous life and my fabulous job, I probably move to Australia. As you said, we are in Australia now, we're earning our wonderful money, And then I realized, no. These Aussies are just getting underneath my skin, but I love my job. I come back and negotiate with my company that if we can work out an arrangement that I can work virtually, I have no problem with the time differences. I can still continue my job. They come to we come to an understanding. They are happy with me doing that. In other words, the source remains Australia. I return here. What's the implication there?
So because you are in South Africa now, you are a resident.
Yes.
Right, for tax purposes. And you'd be taxed on worldwide income.
Mm-hmm.
But because you are working in a foreign company,
mm-hmm.
so you are earning foreign income.
Mm-hmm.
So what's great is the minister even mentioned it now during this budget speech, mm-hmm. although it's something mm-hmm. that has always
yes.
been there for, I think, since 2020, I don't think he has changed the amount. But he said... there's an exemption when you earn foreign income from a foreign employer mm-hmm. of 1.25 million mm-hmm. rands. So what it means is because you are here and you are working for this employer that is in Australia, let's say they pay you 1.5 mm-hmm. million rands. So 1.25 would be exempt, meaning it won't be taxable. So it'll only be taxed on 250,000 rands.
If the source is not one source, not one region, let's say you're a consultant, and you get some in the UK, some in the US, and so on and so on. What principles are we using there?
We're still using the same principles, mm-hmm. but also what is exciting or interesting, Pemelo, which you could consider is something called double tax agreements.
Mm.
So you could just go to the SARS website and look for countries where we have double tax agreements.
Mm.
So the purpose of double tax agreements is just to manage the two tax administrations, meaning two
yes.
countries, and then just to enable you to eliminate the chances of being taxed twice.
Yeah, so they have their own treaties.
Yes.
Governments have come to an agreement to say, look, because we want to have these cultural exchanges and we like each other, we're going to be nice to one another in how we tax our residents.
100%, and you'll be taxed at one of the lower rates of the two. Yeah.
Other words, when NOMSA looks for a job, before you even go after the fact, look
she
at what
she could
that's
have
yes. exactly.
Go to the SARS website,
you
look
go
for these double taxation
and
agreements.
Check where is there going to be a better honeymoon in terms of what the tax man will do for you? That's how you should
the
do it.
The thing is, when NOMSA immigrated, she thought she was done with tax. She thought she was done. And unfortunately for her, because she never informed SARS that she was leaving. Because you could look at the assets that she owned. The assets she owned, she was responsible for this capital gains tax because on the day you leave the country, you are deemed to have disposed.
Exactly.
Right? But with her assets, she claimed she never sold them. She donated them to her family members.
Problem number one.
Yes.
Problem number one.
Yeah, but now when you donate, that is still a deemed disposal.
Yes.
Now they
yes.
can look at the market value
yes.
of the assets at the day she emigrated, and then look at that and deem it to be proceeds.
Yep.
Versus
makes
the
sense.
Cost that she incurred, and then she
makes
faces capital
sense.
Gains. Yeah,
makes perfect sense because either way, I mean, are you that nice that you've just decided to donate your house, for instance, and you're not hoping to get a cent?
Although there are exclusions, though, things like personal use assets.
Yes.
Things like vehicles.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And it would be vehicles and what kind of things as well?
There's actually an entire list on the 8th schedule of the Income Tax Act.
Mm.
So that is something that we can check. But it's, I think it's vehicles, it's things like, I think, a yacht, but it's the certain size of the yacht.
Yeah.
There's an entire list there, actually. Yeah.
You would have to... you do fill a form, right? Is it an exit something something?
Exit return? Exit tax
return.
Return,
yes. So that is part of how you declare to SARS that this is my situation now.
And I'm leaving. And just because you're leaving, it doesn't mean that you are exempt
this
from
is the
paying
thing.
Tax.
This is exactly
no.
it. This
you
is exactly
to
you are just telling them that these are my circumstances.
Exactly. Because you could be leaving, because some of the people still have ties with South Africa, even if yes. have emigrated. So they would still be owning properties in South Africa, or they would still have bank accounts in South Africa.
That's
so
it.
Those are the things that, not that they would become tax residents, you know, in South Africa, but those ties, they enable SARS to actually have interest in them, to say, isn't there any income that you are earning in South Africa, even though you are no longer a South African resident? Because even if you've lost the status as a South African resident, but because those ties enable you to earn income in South Africa, so you will now be taxed on a source basis.
Would it be tax avoidance if, for instance, the asset, let's say it's a home, the asset that you own, in as much as you've moved to another country, residing there and earning from another country, and you didn't so much as donate the asset as in the house, but there are members of the family that you've left there that are maybe minors or people who are occupying the house. In other words, you're not earning from that home, and genuinely so. You're not earning any, and there is no capital. You didn't sell it, and you're not earning from it. How then would you advise that person in managing that asset?
You know, what's great about the house is if it was used as your primary residence while you were still in the country.
Correct, that instance.
So there is, I would call it an exclusion for now, but of about, I think, 2 million rands from the capital gain.
Yes.
So looking at the market value at the time you'll be leaving the country and the cost of that house that you would have incurred when you acquired the house, difference that should be the 2 million rands would not be taxed, right? Now, if SARS deems that house to be disposal on the day you left the country, but at least you will still get 2 million rands exclusion. But if it's not deemed to be disposal and you are not earning income, I think it's something that will have to be subjective now, where you have to explain to SARS, why are you not disposing this? Because you are no longer a South African resident. Because remember, there are people who are occupying this. This could be deemed to be a donation.
This is a donation. Yes.
And a donation, we've already agreed that it is also a deemed disposal. So it's a forced sale
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Because you may have a genuine case where it wasn't quite a donation in the sense that you didn't move the asset officially as a donation. They are still, though, occupying the property. And they are not giving you any money. In fact, you know, you're still paying for it.
Which is a donation. Because now you're giving.
But you would still be paying then.
Only on the day you leave the country, right? Because now think of donations tax as well. Donations tax, it's just a gratuitous payment. You decide to be nice. I'm paying this person so much money. And SARS still wants tax at 20% because you're being kind.
Is it okay for my tummy right now to be upset?
You know what? Actually, Pamelo.
Because you know what I'm trying to say. Here I am, a good standing citizen. I have got my grandmother who I've left in my home, and somehow the tax man wants to tax me over and above the fact that I'm just doing
Pamelo,
my country duty.
Yesterday I literally read something on the newspaper. They were talking about
Mistress.
They were talking about wealth tax.
Yeah.
Because remember now, after this,
yes, there's been a lot of talk about that. Yes,
now they're talking about introducing wealth taxes, and you look at donations tax as well,
yes,
which is similar to wealth tax, just because you have these assets that you've given to someone else and you have to pay donations tax.
Yes,
although wealth tax is slightly different in the sense that you are taxed on assets that you have that are idling. They are not generating income. So, an example...
You have a farm that's sitting doing... No one's farming. You just have it because you just have it.
Exactly. Because if you are farming...
Yeah. You would be generating...
Generating income. Yeah. And then... Or if you decide to erect on that land, there's a building, maybe you lease it out, and then you earn rental income, you pay income tax.
Yeah.
So, by virtue of it idling, then you have to be somehow punished because... I mean, in a country where we say there are people who are homeless.
The state wants to work. And also... And there must be an economy. Something must be happening.
Yes. Yeah. Although, while you own the land, you'll be paying municipal rates. You know?
That's not enough.
It's not enough. Yeah.
So what we're saying here is that we agree it's unfair. What in a nutshell?
It's in the egg.
We are saying, uguti, let's breathe. Being nice to your grandmother still means that you must still pay the tax, man, even if you're just being nice to your grandmother.
Although I must say, when it comes to this family, Gogo Shabalala seems to be very much chewed up.
You know,
in today's lingo, they say she's woke.
Yes.
She's very much woke when it comes to taxes. Mm. She might not be a tax expert, mm-hmm. but she always ensures that she understands tax before she makes any payment. So she makes use of SARS platforms. Mm-hmm. You know, she would go to a SARS branch, she goes to e-filing, mm-hmm. she tries to ensure that she obtains as much knowledge as possible. And what I like about her, each time they receive letters, she opens them
and reads them.
Exactly.
So as I am growing in my career, this Nomsa is growing in her career. She's now earning dollars, so she maybe has a little extra, right? And she's thinking she wants to retire maybe in the next 15 years. And part of that money is to buy other assets in either the country where she originates from, South Africa. Maybe these are holiday homes. Chooses to not necessarily rent them out. But perhaps her job allows her to come in and out regularly. Is it wise from a tax perspective for her to sit with assets in J, gathering dust maybe for 2 months in the year, but it's there and she doesn't have to pay for hotels? And she would call, well, I have a house in Cape Town or an apartment in Cape Town. I have one in Durban and so on and so on. What would be the wise thing to do? Because she's thinking, remember, I'm a layperson. She's thinking, I grew up being told, Mdanam,
own property.
Do you get it? Ne? Mdanam, own property. Mm. If nothing else, own property. Mm. And those are the principles she's working with. Mm.
Owning property is great because, you know, it's it appreciates in value, mm. right?
But sometimes.
Sometimes. And it appreciates better if it's an investment property, mm. meaning if you are deriving income from it. Mm. But having property that is just camping there mm-hmm. waiting for you to
yes,
come.
Yes, because
maybe
mostly you want to floss. I want to show my friends. I have a house at the beach. I have a house at Clifton. And because I can.
Yeah. So obviously that's more of a financial advisory rather than a tax advice. But I mean, financially for me, I don't think it's something that would make financial sense mm-hmm. in the sense that it's an asset that you could use as an investment. That's why these days people would buy properties and turn them into Airbnbs, mm-hmm. you know. So meaning at the time when she's not there, someone would be occupying mm. it and she gets rental income. Mm. Even though from rental income, she'll have to pay income tax mm-hmm. because that income would have been derived in South Africa, even mm. though she's in Australia. Mm. But at least that's a better option. But I guess now she's at a stage whereby she doesn't want to come back home.
No,
and sleep
I don't want
at
to go in a hotel.
Where,
yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but I don't think it would make financial sense for her to mm-hmm. do that, especially because, I mean, while the property is there, it also needs to be maintained. So
yes.
it's not necessarily accumulating dust. She's paying for maintenance mm-hmm. costs. There's someone who's cleaning and everything mm-hmm. else. She's paying rates and everything. So there will just be a cash outflow all the time for as long as she owns that property, unlike when she's using it as an investment property.
If Nomsa were given a choice by the global company that she works for, and I'm asking this because I suppose from a tax point of view, this is possibly what she would use to decide whether she actually wants to move to Australia or not. Mm. If the global company that has approached her gives her the option to immigrate or to stay, from a tax perspective, what would be advisable?
For me, it would be to stay because when you stay, you do get a lot of exemptions as a South African resident mm. because you can imagine the government is trying to retain as many brains as possible.
You know,
remember, Nomsa is a professional.
I can
here.
See people's eyes going popping up out like this. What? Is it better? It's, so from and, a tax perspective, it's better.
It's better because, remember, also the government is trying to encourage people to stay in the country. That's why he has increased that exemption on foreign employment to 1.25 million rand, you know. So I would encourage her to stay rather than emigrate.
Wow. Okay. What, yeah. So let's talk about your next lesson because I think I've deviated a little bit. I've deviated a little bit and asked so many other questions around NOMSA. So NOMSA, having accepted the job offer, can optimally, I suppose, make some decisions on whether she's staying or not if she had the choice. And secondly, what to do with those assets if she decides to leave. And you're almost saying, if you are going to leave, probably clean up.
Just make sure that you declare to SARS so that they could help you with that exit tax return, you know, because you might be sitting and worried thinking, oh my gosh, all these assets that I own, I'll be facing capital gains tax implications.
Yes.
Only to find out that actually maybe those are personal use assets. You don't need to pay any CGT, right? So you rather declare and get proper advice from SARS.
All right, we'll see.
And you know, Pamela, sorry, I know you're saying you deviated, but it is quite important that you clean up because, like, currently, I saw this morning there was something on the internet. They were talking about Project Ama Billions.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new project that SARS, it's a campaign actually by SARS called Project Ama Billions. Initially, when I read it, I thought they are going for billionaires, you know, whereas it means they're trying to recover as much tax as possible from people who are evading tax. Mm. So meaning if you also leave or emigrate from South Africa and you don't declare that you've left, you're no longer a resident, you are part of Project Ama Billions now because you are part of tax evaders, considering the fact that had you declared, you could have paid capital gains tax, but now you decide to flee and not inform SARS.
And there are implications. For instance, if NOMSA leaves, goes to Australia, and Australia is not the only source of income. South Africa still has a bank account that earns money, right? She still also has assets as well here earning, or maybe not earning money, but she still earns money from South Africa with a bank account that's very active. Would she still be seen as an immigrant?
So if she has fully emigrated and she has this bank account in South Africa that
which
receives money from different countries or from different sources.
Or locally.
Okay. The one that is received locally.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what is her tax status or residence status.
Or where
status.
She is.
Yes. What matters is the source where she got this money from. Yes.
So if bank account X here in Johannesburg receives money from South Africa, that does not matter that she's not here. That money that is received here will be taxed.
Will be taxed
because it came from
the South African source. Yes. Yes.
And then it doesn't affect what then is the story with her money coming from Australia.
100%.
They are seen as two different
things.
Yes,
yes, yes. Because if she's no longer a resident and she's earning money in Australia, she's based in Australia. Mm. We don't care what's happening that side, you know. All we care about is the money that she has received in South Africa. And this money that she received, she earned it in South Africa, meaning she had rendered a service in South Africa. So that's a South Africa being the source of income. Yeah.
Okay. What are we... This is so interesting. Okay, so we are going to be back next week to continue our series. Where do people get hold of you, Busi?
Okay, they can call us. Our number is 010-824-0134, or they can email us at info@netvest.co.za. So next week, Pamela, we are looking at Lindiwe. Mm-hmm. Lindiwe is one of the daughters.
Yes.
She actually sits as a non-executive director in one of the big companies here in Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
Now she earns director's fees.
Yes.
She also gets a letter.
Yes.
Koko Shabalala is the one who gets to open the letter.
Yes.
The letter is about vets that she owes SARS, and she's shocked because she's thinking,
I don't run a shop.
I'm just
why am I paying vets?
I'm just a non-executive director. I'm
and
an
I'm just sitting at home, and maybe I'm also post 50. I should be earning all my money because I've earned it.
Yes.
Not so.
Yeah. So now what the Act says is you are sitting as a non-executive director, mm-hmm. you are rendering a service. Mm. You must pay
VAT. You must, first of all, register for VAT as well.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's Busisiwe Mdletshe, who is CEO of NetVest. And that will also be podcasted, by the way. So we'll continue our series. By the way, you can ask any questions. So we have the series, but it doesn't stop you from asking your questions. In fact, what you can do is, if you have an issue, you can email us on pov@kaya959.co.za with all your issues, you know, whether you are struggling with getting through to the taxman because there's a what you think is a misunderstanding, all of those, email them prior to our conversation on Tuesday so that we can go through them, have a look at them, and then we'll get Busi to come back with the expert's advice on that. So that's what you can do. pov@kaya959.co.za. Thank you, Busi.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.